This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. Donald Kavanagh at the Highland Radio News Desk. The British government wants a time limit on its temporary customs plan to avoid a hard border with Ireland after Brexit. A document published this afternoon says they expect a permanent solution to be in place by December 2021, but there are no firm commitments. Campaigners have lost an appeal over the legality of Northern Ireland's strict abortion laws, although the UK Supreme Court did admit the laws are incompatible with human rights legislation. A Donegal-based investment company has won an investment competition run by the National Digital Research Centre. We'll hear from the CEO of the Ardra-based firm. And investigations continue after €40,000 worth of drugs, including cocaine, are seized by Gardaí in Letterkenny. And later, Kenny Harkin is here with the sports news. Good evening. The British government wants a time limit on its temporary customs plan to avoid a hard border with Ireland after Brexit. A document published this afternoon says they expect a permanent solution to be in place by December 2021, but there are no firm commitments. The note was published after a series of meetings between the British Prime Minister Theresa May and Brexit Secretary David Davis. The proposed terms will be presented to the European Council later this month. The Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald says they seem to be unacceptable.
I am very, very worried that we come into the summer period and we move into the autumn with no answer. That leaves us in an incredibly vulnerable position. I'm worried that the Taoiseach, for example, had a meeting some weeks ago with Theresa May, and he said at that time that she let him into some of her current and new thinking. I mean, was this the new thinking? Because if it was, it's deeply flawed thinking.
Well, the EU chief Brexit negotiator has responded to the proposals on Twitter, saying there are three key questions that must be answered. Michel Barnier says he'll be looking to see if it provides a workable solution to avoid a hard border, while also respecting the integrity of the customs union. He added that while he welcomes publication of the proposal, it needs to be assessed to see if it is an all-weather backstop. Campaigners have lost an appeal over the legality of Northern Ireland's strict abortion laws. Justices at the UK Supreme Court says the laws are incompatible with human rights legislation, but they ruled the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission, which brought the challenge, didn't have the standing to bring it. Legal commentator Joshua Rosenberg, who's at the court in London today, says that in Belfast, the courts had a different opinion.
Both the High Court and the Court of Appeal in Northern Ireland said they did have the authority to bring this case. The Supreme Court was divided, but a majority said they didn't. The minority said, of course they have the authority to bring the case. That's what this commission was set up for.
Investigations are continuing this evening after €40,000 worth of drugs, including a quantity of cocaine, was seized by Gardaí in Letterkenny. Gardaí stopped and searched a man travelling in a taxi last evening, resulting in the seizure of a large quantity of substances. He was detained at the scene. Two follow-up searches resulted in more drugs and cash being seized and a second man being arrested. Inspector Gretty Sheridan says it's a very significant find.
We have a total estimated street value of drugs worth €40,000. Which is very significant, and of that you have approximately €15,000 worth of cocaine, €18,000 worth of Ecstasy tablets, which is equivalent to 1,800 e-tablets, €4,000 worth of speed, or otherwise known as amphetamine, and €3,000 worth of cannabis hair. Definitely for local distribution, and these drugs are obviously available on our streets here in Donegal. Unfortunately, cocaine, ecstasy, speed, cannabis herb. I suppose here more of a cannabis herb, but the other drugs are certainly available throughout the county. And it's significant that, you know, it's a significant seizure in our eyes. And this is really what we want to put out there, is that these drugs are out there. And I suppose we need the assistance of the public to help us in our fight against drugs in the streets, and to any information that people have that they might share it with the guards, either ringing the guard station direct or looking to speak to somebody in the guard station, or else they're ringing our confidential line. The drug unit here in Letterkenny, we're doing a lot of work in the last while in relation to the sale and supply of drugs in the area, and this is just one element of it, or one facet of our investigation. So, significant results, which is good.
Inspector Gretty Sheridan. A Donegal-based company has won an investment competition run by the National Digital Research Centre. Cerebrion won the €30,000 investment at the NDRC's Investor Showcase for Digital Startups after undergoing several months of training and mentorship. The Ardra-based company develops machine intelligence for the insolvency sector, designed to increase efficiency and reduce default levels. Cerebrion's CEO Gillian Doyle says with an initiative such as this, the mentoring is more important than the money. She says the support of agencies such as the NDRC and Enterprise Ireland has been vital.
Been massively supported by Enterprise Ireland from the word go. We started in their New Frontiers programme, where we finished their competitive start fund and have had amazing mentors all the way. We've just finished with the National Digital Research Centre after 4 or 5 months, and yes, it is. It's a massive support for us.
What brought you to Ardra to establish here?
My husband Ken is my co-founder, and he's originally from Portneuf. So he's from a legacy of employing locally. Mum and dad had a business there, so we decided to do the same. The world, you know, you can work remotely anywhere and you can access most sectors.
Where does this investment from the NDRC bring you now? €30,000, it may not seem the largest sum in the world, but I suspect for a company like yours, at the point that you're at, an investment like that can really have a multiplier effect.
That's very true. The €30,000, it's already earmarked, as with most startups, they'll know what they're going to do with it. And the big thing is to get our next few customers over the line. I think with a lot of the programs and accelerator courses that exist around the country, it's not so much about the prize money at the end as in terms of the mentoring that you get the whole way through. We've learned how to look at our business as an international and global solution to a big problem. And, you know, we would have been restricting ourselves to the UK, maybe Australia and Canada before we walked in the door. So I think that's the real benefit as opposed to the financial.
And that was Gillian Doyle, CEO of Cerebrion. Well, Gordon Hunt of the NDRC has been outlining what made the Ardra-based company stand out.
The main focus that we have is digital companies, and Cerebrion would have had a clear scalability and could clearly operate on an international scale, on an international stage, and like the borders of Ireland are certainly not going to be the limit, and that's largely what attracts the NDRC to businesses. So that would have helped Cerebrion get across the line today.
The government has confirmed more funding for flood relief schemes in Donegal. Burnfoot will receive €1.5 million for works. Castlefin is to receive €1.75 million. Meanwhile, additional monies have been allocated to carry out interim works at Ballybuffet and Stranorra. The announcement came as Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran visited Donegal today. It brings to €11 million in total the amount invested in various flood relief schemes in the county so far. On today's 9 till noon show, Minister Joe McHugh outlined the extra spending.
But he wants the council to drive the scheme. He's had already had a conversation with Seamus Neely, the chief executive officer. That means hiring additional staff at Donegal County Council in conjunction with the OPW, but this will drive. I know one of your previous contributors there was asking, when's this money coming? This money's been announced today, so it's about putting a plan in place as of now between the council and the OPW, and that's the job at hand now.
We have to be realistic. To do something right, it might take a little bit of time, there might be a little bit of planning, but the hope would be, and I'm sure you'd be in pressing on people as well as the minister, this has to happen ASAP, because you want the good news to start being felt on the ground as soon as possible.
You do, and like a lot of these communities have had different experiences. Obviously, the Burnfoot experience has been a very, very negative one, where people had to leave their houses. The plan is to try to get them back into the houses. I always advocated there was no point putting them back into houses unless we had the protective measure. So that's a plan for Burnfoot. And even Castle Fund, I know a lot of businesses were affected in the last devastating flood, and they're always worried about insurance, always worried about cover, and it's about doing it right.
And that was Minister Joe McHugh. Well, Senator Patrick McLaughlin is welcoming the Burnfoot funding, while Councillor Gary Doherty is welcoming the Castlefin announcement. He says the focus now switches to securing substantial funding for Stranorra and Ballybuffet. There had been an expectation that more would be announced for the Twin Towns today. Lascan Corla and Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says that area is under a continuous threat of flooding, and today's announcement does nothing to counter that.
I have had numerous meetings with the Minister, and I've challenged him to provide funding for Castlefin and Ballybuffet Stranorra. I'm pleased that £1.7 million has been provided for Castlefin, but only £170 for emergency works in Ballybuffet Stranorra. Now, anyone who knows Ballybuffet Stranorra
And the business people there are furious today that the a major announcement has not been made. 170 will only do immediate works that are needed. So I will now be pursuing the minister and his department for further monies. And I'm told it's about 2.2 million. Now, it's been said that they'll carry out some research and establish what exactly is required. Everyone knows what's required in Belfast and Ulster, and this is only procrastination. And in fact, today's announcement is a recycling of an announcement a number of weeks ago, which the government are good at.
And that was Deputy Patrick Cope Gallagher. The Taoiseach says he's honoured to be launching a Belfast festival amid claims that it's inappropriate. Tonight, Leo Varadkar will visit the Orange Order headquarters, becoming the first serving Taoiseach to do so. Tomorrow, he launches Féile an Phobail, which will include a talk by the leaders of the Great Escape, which saw IRA prisoners break out of Long Kesh. The move's been criticised by Austin Stack, whose father was murdered by the IRA. But Mr. Varadkar insists he won't reconsider.
No, I'm not. You know, this is a community festival. It's been running in Belfast for decades now. And during very dark periods when Belfast was a very difficult city to live in, it was something that lifted the spirits of the community in Belfast. And I'm very happy to be associated with it.
Residents in Bridgend are being warned to be extra vigilant following reports of two women acting suspiciously in the area. It's understood the pair were spotted trying to gain access to a number of homes by checking doors last evening. Gardaí have been notified of the incident. The Carhartt of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, believes the women are mobile, and it's, he says, important that people in neighbouring areas are also on the alert.
Calling around occupied houses, trying to see if the doors were unlocked. They're seen in gardens to see, but the presumption being that they were checking to see if there was children's toys that could be taken. So it's fairly worrying. I don't want to cause huge alarm, but just advise people in the area to keep your doors locked, keep anything from your gardens, take them in at night, and if you're just make sure that everything's safe, just in case.
Particularly during the summer months, people may be more inclined to leave doors open, etc., more so than they would during the winter.
Of course, people would be leaving out the likes of swings and slides and children's bikes that are getting used throughout the summer months. And given that Bridgend is a particularly safe area, people may be inclined to leave their doors unlocked. But I would advise people just that you can never, never be too safe. Always take every precaution. Just make sure that your home is secured, and then hopefully nothing untoward can happen.
At this point, are the Gardaí involved in investigating this?
I spoke to the Gardaí earlier this morning just to notify them of it, but I would ask anybody that has any information, first-hand information, just information was passed to me, anybody who might have seen what was happening, to contact the Gardaí immediately. Even if no property was taken, the Gardaí need to be informed in case these people are moving to different areas and could be trying to take things from people in a community nearby.
And that was Councillor Jack Murray there speaking to Catherine Gaffney.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, home of the Donegal GAA Dillon Range.
5:15, we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Shamrock Rovers forward Graham Burke is close to sealing a move to Sky Bet Championship side Preston. The Republic of Ireland international is expected to cost around £300,000. He'll join fellow Irish players Greg Cunningham, Daryl Horgan, Alan Brown, Owen Doyle, Sean Maguire, Kevin O'Connor, Adam O'Reilly and Andy Boyle at deep deal. Elsewhere, FAI Women's Player of the Year Harriet Scott has been ruled out of the Republic of Ireland's World Cup qualifier doubleheader with Norway. The defender suffered a knee ligament injury, and goalkeeper Marie Hourihan is also a doubt for tomorrow's game at Tala due to a calf strain. Amber Barrett and Tyler Toland are also in that squad. Their manager Colin Bale has been asked if they need to pick up 3 points in the game.
We always want to win, so I don't usually use that word must. I want to, and the girls want to. And we know, obviously, it's a big ask, a big task. Norway are one of the top nations in women's football. They had a disappointing Euros 2017, but they've recovered very, very well in this campaign, have world-class players. So, again, we're up against it, but that's the challenge, and, you know, that's where we want to be.
Elsewhere, for the first time, a streaming service has bought the UK rights to show the Premier League football games. Amazon has snapped up one of two packages of matches that had been unsold since February. It means it'll show 20 clashes from the 2019-2020 season. BT has claimed the last remaining package, adding to the deals they've already secured along with Sky. Up in Scotland, new Rangers manager Steven Gerrard's quickly utilised his Liverpool links. They've signed midfielder Ove Ejiarra on a season-long loan from the Premier League side. At the same time, the England under-21 internationals extended his contract at the Anfield club. In Gaelic games, the draws for the club championships in Tyrone take place this evening in Gairvahi. The lineups for the senior, intermediate and junior championships will be made this evening. St Enda's Omer are the defending senior champions in the O'Neill County, while Moy, they move up, having won last year's intermediate crown. Moving on to rugby, and Joey Carberry's been handed the number 10 shirt for Ireland's first test against Australia in Brisbane on Saturday. He'll join his future Munster teammate Conor Murray in the halfbacks. Former Ireland captain Keith Wood, he thinks it's important that they get a chance to build a partnership.
Conor Murray is with Joe Carberry because that's important, that Joey gets a chance with our best nine. Look, I see a performance in the Irish team. I think Australia will be very excellent. I think Ireland win the series 2-1.
Rob Herring, he replaces the injured captain Rory Best at hooker, with Peter O'Mahony skipper on the side from the back row. Bundy Aki and Robbie Henshaw, they return from injury to start in midfield. And there's two debutants in the Australian team, former refuse collector and theology student Brandon Amosa, he starts at hooker, and rugby league convert Caleb Timu, he starts at number 8. The Irish under-20s, they play Georgia in their final pool game at the World Championships in Narrabone this evening. After defeats to France and South Africa, Noel McNamara's side need a win to earn a spot in the 5th to 8th place playoffs. Moving on to tennis, and Simona Halep is into her third French Open final. The women's number 1 seed and last year's beaten finalist has defeated Garbiñe Muguruza in straight sets 6-1, 6-4. US Open champion Sloane Stephens, she's taken on Madison Keys in the second semi-final. Stephens has won the first set 6-4 and she's currently 3-2 up in the second. In the men's section, defending men's champion Rafa Nadal, he'll meet Argentina's Juan Martín Del Potro in the semi-finals. The defending champion defeated Diego Schwartzman 4-6, 6-3, 6-2, 6-2, while Del Potro got the better of Marin Cilic, also in four sets. In golf, Gavin Moynihan's five shots off the lead after a 1-under par opening round of 71 at the Shot Clock Masters in Austria. He's the best of the Irish. Rory McGee, he's 1-over on today too. With Ulster teenager Tom McKibben, he's also finished at 1-under, the 15-year-old amateur. A great performance by him. Leading the way on 6-under par is Oscar Ledgen of Sweden, with Miguel Henkel Jimenez and Peter Hansen among those at 5-under. It's a new event this Shot Clock. Each player gets 40 seconds to play his shot. In the PGA Tour this week is the FedEx St. Jude Classic taking place in Memphis. Leading the way is Wesley Bryan and Brooks Koepka. They're both in 5-under par through 13 holes, but just one shot off the lead is Patrick Harrington. He's on 4-under par through 12 holes. He's joined there by Phil Mickelson. The rest of the Irish, Seamus Power, he's 2-under through 8, and Shane Lowry's 1-under through 12. Locally in golf, links specialist David Higgins, he'll defend the 36-hole Dunfanaghy Pro-Am this weekend at the County Donegal venue. Last year, the Waterville golfer posted rounds of 65 and 67 to beat Mark Staunton of Dilgany Golf Club by a single shot. The current top five players in the PGA in Ireland order of merit: Colin Moriarty of Glasnotail, Michael McGeady, Evolve Golf Coaching, Simon Thornton of Tulfaris Golf Resort, and Richard Kilpatrick, Banbridge Golf Club, and Joe Dillon, Headford Golf Club. They will all be competing this weekend. This will be the fourth staging of the Pro-Am following its return to the PGA in Ireland schedule back in 2015. Finally for this evening in boxing, Kelly Harrington's into the lightweight quarterfinals at the European Elite Women's Boxing Championships in Bulgaria. The Dubliner has defeated Katerina Humlova of the Czech Republic on a unanimous decision in Sofia. Offaly's Grania Walsh has her welterweight bout, her last 32 bout, against a Russian opponent. That gets underway at 6 o'clock Irish time. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thank you, Kenny. A Donegal deputy says the publication of a report into the Irish rural broadband strategy by the EU Court of Auditors this week must act as a wake-up call for the government. The report concludes that the €275 million set aside for the strategy is unlikely to be enough, and the 2020 target for completion will not be met. Deputy Charlie McConnellogue says after a litany of broken promises, the government must take action.
It's not news to people around Donegal who are still waiting or any type of reasonable broadband, and who've been failed for many years now in relation to actually the government delivering on a broadband rollout plan. The 2011 programme for government promised that by 2016, 90% of people would have broadband. And then following on from that, that commitment was revised to 100% of people having broadband by the year 2020. The reality today, however, is that we've almost half of businesses and residences in Donegal without high-speed broadband, and that is really inhibiting our growth. And the government, as has been proven by the Court of Auditors report again, are simply not getting their act together in this and not prioritising it, making sure that it happens. What we need to see happening is that the tender for the National Broadband Plan gets expedited and issued immediately so that those homes who aren't being serviced by the private sector can get broadband promptly.
Will this finding by the Court of Auditors give the government the impetus to move more quickly on this? Effectively, could this act as the government's wake-up call?
They should have had so many wake-up calls at this stage, but it's evidence once again of the fact that they haven't been delivering. We've known for a long time that rural parts, and that covers much of Donegal, includes many, many, many villages, and indeed quite close to our larger towns, that they simply were not going to get broadband until the government delivered the national plan. Until they actually issue that tender and start that programme, the houses and premises across the county will be waiting, and they need to take this as a wake-up call. If it's coming from Europe this time, it's been coming from domestic sources for long enough, and actually get the act together and ensure that this issue is prioritised.
And that was Deputy Charlie McConnellogue. The chair of the Disclosures Tribunal has told the group editor of the Daily Mail it doesn't look very impressive that the paper took 5 months to confirm details to the tribunal. Peter Charlton told Sebastian Hamilton he wasn't helping the tribunal with more. Here's Juliet Gash.
Reporter with the Daily Mail, Alison O'Reilly, is in dispute about a number of facts with her former and current colleagues at the Sunday and Daily Mail. Her editor, Sebastian Hamilton, has claimed journalistic privilege over his discussions with potential sources, but says he had no discussion with his staff about what they could and couldn't tell the tribunal. But four of his staff members refused to answer a tribunal questionnaire, and the paper failed to mention that crime correspondent Debbie McCann went to Cavan to interview Maurice McCabe's accuser in 2014. Chairman Peter Charlton said it was a fact that someone knocked on someone's door, and it had nothing to do with privilege, adding that it took 5 months to confirm the detail doesn't look very impressive. Judge Charlton also took issue with Mr. Hamilton suggesting Alison O'Reilly was lying, saying she had helped the tribunal, whereas he hadn't. This afternoon, crime editor with the Irish Times, Conor Lally, confirmed that no member of the Gardaí ever briefed him negatively about Maurice McCabe. Juliet Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
And a reuse and save initiative has been launched by Letterkenny Chamber to reduce the number of single-use coffee cups in circulation around the town and its environs. Various Shop LK outlets will be offering incentives to encourage customers to bring their own reusable travel cups, reducing waste and costs for the customers and businesses. The campaign was inspired by an award-winning recycling initiative, Bottle It, Reuse and Refill, that was established by transition year students at Errigal College. Chamber's chief executive is Tony Forrester.
We're just trying to play our part really in this. Over the last number of months, everybody's talking about plastic and they're talking about what's happening to our environment. When we saw this, the transition year, Errigal College people, they sort of contacted us. And we thought, well, why don't we try and do something with our Shop LK, under Shop LK initiative? And really, we're not trying to change the world in one go, but I suppose we're trying to help people who are, even the coffee shops are encouraging people to use their own travel cup or that they have biodegradable cups.
Well, the forecast, it'll be warm this evening with some hazy sunshine, scattered clouds and a light breeze, dry in most places, but heavy showers will be dying out as the evening continues. Warm this evening with hazy sunshine, dry and calm, but some mist patches will develop in the early hours of tomorrow morning in lowest temperatures of 10 to 13 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, again, warm and sunny, but widespread heavy and thundery showers will develop in the afternoon. Highs tomorrow, 18 to 22 degrees Celsius. Looking at the main stories in brief this evening, the British government wants a time limit on its temporary customs plan to avoid a hard border with Ireland after Brexit. A document published this afternoon says they expect a permanent solution to be in place by December 2021, but there are no firm commitments given. Campaigners in the north have lost an appeal over the legality of the strict abortion laws in Northern Ireland. Justices at the UK Supreme Court says they're incompatible with human rights legislation, but they ruled that the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission didn't have the standing to bring the challenge. Investigations continue after €40,000 worth of drugs, including cocaine, was seized by Gardaí in Letterkenny yesterday evening, and a Donegal-based company, Cerebrion, has won an investment competition run by the National Digital Research Centre. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 7th of June. A requiem mass will take place in St Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill, Ballybuffet, on Saturday for the late Annie Dabkowski, née McHugh, Kelowna, Canada, formerly of Locht, Castlefin and Meanlocht, Killigordon. Mass will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock. Afterwards, her ashes will be interred in the family grave in the adjoining churchyard, in accordance with Annie's wishes. The death has taken place of Stella Cresswell, née McCready, 13 Richhill Park, Kilfenan. Funeral service at her late home on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Ballyone Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Athlone Hospital, Ward 4, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Sylvia Robinson, Seaview, Kill, Dunfanaghy. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Clondahorkey Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Lakehouse Comfort Fund and Holy Trinity Church Restoration Fund, care of any family member or Harkin Funeral Directors, Creasler. The house is private, please. And the death has occurred of Bernard Barney Bradley, Ballinlough, Drumfries, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 20 past 10, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock requiem mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to ICU, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Directors, Clonmany. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m.